Welcome to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levins here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. And thank you for listening. If you're just joining us, we talk about the headlines of the day from a Christian perspective. And we come to the point of program, Spotlight, where we talk about a ministry or business or organization that is able to be reached right here in our local area. And today we have a missionary in studio who has been on the program before. Philip, who is a missionary, and I know I'm not going to say the name right. New Caledonia.
Yeah, that's it. You got New Caledonia, Vanuatu, and Fiji Islands.
And Fiji. So you're having fun down there in Fiji.
I'm having a bonza time, mate.
You are, I love the accent, by the way. We got Philip, and we also have Pastor Joyner, who's with us with Valley Forge Baptist, who is the church that is connected with Philip, who's ministering out there in the South Pacific. You're just having loads of fun out there.
Oh, mate, I'm having a bonza time out there. I'm telling you, reaching out people and telling people and delivering people to the light of the gospel. That's the best thing in the world. And I'm talking about, I'm on a volcano the other day, and we got a surfboard, and we're sliding down the face of the volcano, and I got to the bottom. We're falling over ourselves, and I look at another friend, and I go, man, we're just having a great time, and we're getting paid to do this. It's awesome.
So what you say, a bonza time?
Yeah, I got to say something. I was listening to you on the radio about all this stuff about tissues and stuff. I thought, I was telling Pastor Joyner, this guy must be like in his 70s, because I didn't realize that there are actually Americans at your age, because you're a young man.
I'm a young buck. I'm 24.
I know, and like I thought, there was no young Americans who stood up for stuff that you were talking about. I thought, man, this guy must be 70 or something.
there are some, and you know what? Millennials is on a side note. Millennials, you know, the more and more they're kind of there is a I don't know what to call it. I guess you could call it a resurgence, sort of. But there are those who are my age who do believe in conservative values, but who are Christians though, and are really fighting for
that's awesome,
you know, for Christianity in our nation. But I'm delighted to hear that I'm young in some people's eyes. I feel like I'm old sometimes.
Well, now I've got that music in the face. You know, you had that cranky music starting off, and then your rage. And I thought for sure this is like, how does it work? Now I see how it works. You're a young man with the music. It works.
Well, there you go. Well, and if you would like to call for a question for Philip, and we're going to go ahead and get into the actual ministry of what you do. You've had quite an interesting time there in Fiji. You've been shot at with an arrow.
Yeah, that's it.
You've been shot at with a gun.
Yep.
Have you been shot at with anything else that we need to be aware of?
A machete.
A machete.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll add that to the list now. Pastor Joyner, let's let you do the introduction. You know Philip better than anyone. Let's let you do the introduction as to what exactly he's doing down there in Fiji.
Well, what we have, thanks for having us, by the way. WFYL has been a great blessing to us as a radio station. We're so thankful that we can be a part of it this morning. Phil was here last year, and he began the story, really, of his testimony of how God had intervened in his life as a young man in Australia, but then also had taken him and placed him in full-time ministry, primarily in the South Pacific. So he has Vanuatu, he has New Caledonia, he has Fiji and other areas. So we as a church are allowed to come alongside him, help him out, you know, prayerfully and also financially. And Phil's back over in the States with us. He spent a little time with us at our church. He's ministering to some other churches and some other camps and things like that. So talking to Al, he wanted to have him back in, let Phil tell his story, really continue to tell his story. So I won't take the thunder from Phil, because he does a much better job describing Phil than anyone I know. And I'll tell you, he will be captivating. I'd ask your audience right now, get their phones ready. Call in with some questions a bit later, because he is excellent at answering your questions. There's going to be one thing I'd ask him to bring you up to date on. Since he was here last time, many of your listeners may remember him being here. There was a Category 5 hurricane, Hurricane Pam, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. The 14th of March hit our island. It was actually the largest recorded hurricane in history in the South Pacific.
Yeah. Tremendous damage.
Wow.
And in fact, on the island of Tanna, where the volcano he was talking about, it basically leveled the entire island. Phil, God has used him to be a very integral part in rebuilding not only physically the homes and the houses and restoring food and those kind of things for the people of the island, but opening a door for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why he's there. So I'd ask you to give Phil a few minutes to describe some of those things, and then to have your listeners call in, too, and have some of those questions answered. I think you'd be greatly blessed by it. Thanks for having us.
No, it's a pleasure to have you guys, really is. So the number to call, 610-539-TALK, or question for Phil, because you want to know what it's like to really be a missionary. Okay, so arrows, machetes, you actually been shot at with bullets. There's some bull riding in here, but I'll go ahead and let you take it, though, too, okay? Because you got quite a story here.
Well, I'm old. I'm not like you. You're just starting life, mate. You just got out of bed. I'm finished my time, man.
you just were going down the side of a volcano on a surfboard.
Yeah,
you're old.
Well,
man.
Because I hang around you guys. See, the idea is when you're old, when you do, you know, those selfie things, you take a picture. I'm old, so I look ugly. But what you do is you take a picture of yourself with a young kid.
He looks much better than he gives himself credit for. Don't believe that for a second. It's radio.
He'll make
you can't
a freight train take a dirt road. I've seen it.
I'm glad we're laughing because, you know, sometimes there's so much bad news and we take the bad news out. You guys here in America have just such an incredible, godly country where the gas is cheapest in the world. The food's incredible. I just walk around at Wagner's. Is that what it is? Wagner's?
Wagman's. Wagman's.
But if you go down there Saturday, they give you free cheese. I mean, I parked myself at the cheese guy and I had all the cheese and he looks at me and says, "Hers, you going to buy any?" I said, "Yes, sir, no. I just want to taste the cheese." So what would you like to know about the mission field? I've been there a long time. I think what we've got to understand is we're not actually looking for exciting things or adventure. We just happen to minister people who live in really cool areas. That's about it. And when you give your life to Christ, it's just like you this morning on the radio where you were passionate about what you were talking about because it hits you at home. And for me, when I see island people who have never been reached civilization, we've been in some of the villages that never had civilization ever in the entire history. When you walk into a village and people have got no clothes, I mean, it just got loincloth and the women have got leaves from the hips down to the knee. When you walk into that village, it's such an incredible privilege. It's just, I guess it'd be like landing on the moon or some, you know, you're the first one there and they're looking at you and you're actually bringing the light of the gospel to these people for the first time. And you can see it on the men, on the women, on children. You can see they're bound by darkness and witchcraft and just the wickedness. The Bible says out of darkness. So just think about darkness and then go further than that. And that's what we got on the islands. I'm telling you, so you can't help but have stories because when you go into someone's village, you're actually arriving in their lounge room. You know, villagers don't have a house where you got the lounge room and a kitchen, and they have a sleeping house and then they have their gardens. So, and their gardens and their lounge room starts across the river. So as soon as I step into a river, oh, that's right.
The lounge room would be like the living room here.
Exactly.
The lounge. If you got lost there a second, you were listening. And dirt, with the dirt floor.
Yeah. So this is one time. I was standing across a river, and from the other side of the river, I had the islanders, and they all had bows and arrows, and they would look really cheesed off. You know what that means, cheesed off?
I think so. I think I kind of get what you mean by it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
They weren't happy.
Okay.
They're all on the other side of the river, and they're like yelling at us, and they're shooting little arrows. Now, it's not a compound bow like I've seen here. This is bamboo with a little bamboo arrow, and it's shooting at us. And I remember I had my son and other people there, and because we always go with a group. And they're telling me, it says, "Man, they don't look very happy." I goes, "No, well, they don't want us over there. We're like, I don't know, it'd be like waking up in the middle of the night, and you got me that I look like an Australian, but my face looks like a Mexican, and it'd be like me having in your lounge room at 12 at night going through your fridge. You wouldn't ask me, "Yeah, g'day, just pass me a tomato sauce, mate." You know,
yeah.
you'd freak out, and they're freaking out because they're not interested in us having. So I remember all of a sudden, one of them started going into the river, and we're thinking, okay, this is new. They're going to cross the river and come to us. Because I was told they generally don't cross the river. That's their boundaries. this guy looked really big. He looked like one of the, you know, I'm at the gym right now because I'm here in 3 months and I'm getting too much cholesterol in the donuts and that. So they look like those guys in the gym, you know, they've got mirrors and I don't know why they have mirrors. I don't want to have mirrors looking at me, but they look like that. And they're running across the river with an arrow and then the whole village started coming. So we ran. We started running for our life. And honest, we're running laughing. My son's laughing. The other guy's laughing. We've got these guys behind us
want
to kill us with arrows. And we're running, but we're laughing because, you know, he's laughing at me because I'm getting older. And we're running as fast as he was 16 at the time. And as I'm running, I'm just thinking, man, I hope they miss because those arrows, they're not like a compound bow. They're not going to aim at you. They're just shooting in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what happened? One of them hit my backpack. I felt it. I felt it hit my backpack, go inside my backpack. And the problem was somebody had just given me that backpack. And so I was like, no way. They hit my backpack.
Oh, no. A backpack may have saved you a lot of heartache there. Well, we got to head to a break. We're going to continue the story here.
Yeah, because I got cheesed off and turned around and headed towards the village. I'll tell you about that when we come back.
You got to hear how Phil got there in the first place. Great story.
We'll go ahead and get back to that in just a moment on It's a New Day.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Being considerate and generous towards the needs of others is important to God. From Scripture, we know that God loves a cheerful giver.
Hi, I'm Doug Floro, President and Certified Financial Planner at MFB Wealth Management. Blessing others can be a great motivation for us to consistently save and invest. Over the years, I have worked with many believers like you to help them develop a plan that allows them to give generously, save responsibly, and spend wisely.
For solid biblical financial planning, call MFB Wealth Management at 215-723-8999. MFB stands for My Father's Business from Luke 2:49, when Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
MFB Wealth Management, 215-723-8999. Also on the web at mfbwm.com. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, member FINRA, SIPC.
So I'm in studio talking with Phil and Pastor Joyner here. Phil's a missionary to New Caledonia, Fiji, and they're both joining us this morning. You call 610-539-TALK, a number to ask Phil a question about this crazy story. Okay, so you were seeing these villagers across the river.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
You weren't even in the. They were across the river from you. Yeah. They're getting all mad. They're shooting arrows.
They're cheesed off. They're getting cheesed off.
That's the term. They're getting cheesed off. Okay. Yeah. And they're shooting little arrows. And one of them comes across the river, and then the whole village begins to follow him across the river.
That's right. And so we're running. We're just like you. What would you do?
You run away.
What would you do? You would run.
And you get an arrow shot at you. It hits your backpack.
Yes.
You get cheesed off.
Yeah, because I'm a missionary and that backpack was donated by a Christian brother. Like we got, you know, at Valley Forge, there's some really good people that help us. And so I was really, I really liked that backpack because hiking's my life. So I stopped, I opened my backpack and there's an arrow and it went in and broke my water bladder. And I was like, what? They broke my backpack? And so they're still running towards us, and I just, you know how you lose it. You know when Dad comes in and he just loses it. I mean, I love God, and I've got the, but I just lost it. So I throw my backpack down. I look at them. I go, right, that's it. And I pointed at them and started running towards them, and they stopped shooting.
They're
arrows.
They're chasing you, shooting arrows, and you actually turned around and ran back.
Yeah, because they broke my backpack.
Because they broke your backpack.
Yeah, I was so sorry. That was like that was it. That was like what?
That was the final straw.
So I started. No, that was the foreign arrow.
That was the final arrow. So there you go.
So I started running towards them, and as I'm running towards them, they realized what was happening. They started running back. They're running back. I'm running. They crossed the river. I'm still running after them. When they got into the bush, I couldn't see them because it's the jungle. It's not like here. You can't see anything. And so they take off in the jungle. I'm on the other side of the river. So I look over there, and all the other, Jeremy, everybody's on the other side of the river. They're all looking at me, and I said, bring the backpack. So they all bring the stuff. Now we're on the other side of the river. That means we're in the lounge room. We are in their tribal area. So we walked in and no one there. I was expecting something to happen. Nothing. We got into the village and we do what we usually do, give out some lollies. We got to interpreters, tell them that we're not hostile. We're here to tell them something good. We've got medicine with us. And it's not, you know, we're going to do many trips into the villages. This is not the first time. This is many times. Eventually, what happened when we finally got the gospel in, we're telling them about Christ and we had some of the people receive Christ after many times we've been in there. I finally sat down and we're having a meal and we've got banana leaves on the floor and we got pieces of pigs and taro and yam and we're all squatting down and just eating this. And I asked one of the guys, I said, you remember when you were chasing me? And they go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And remember when I got crossed? He goes, yes. Why did you guys run? He goes, well, in our culture, when a man is crazy, like he's lost his marbles, how do you call that in America when, you know, like a goober? I don't know.
Just when someone's crazy, when they've lost it.
Yeah, yeah, well, in their culture, when somebody's crazy, that means they've been taken over by some spirit. And so they don't touch that because that's part of their culture. When somebody just loses it, he's got a spirit, you got to get out of it. So I didn't know that, but that's just how God worked it. He used me getting upset to
used you getting cheesed off to go ahead and get into the culture.
I think God knew what I was going to do. You know, God uses us, each and every one of us. He's made us specially. I remember when I came home for the first time, I was in and out of home when I was a young kid. I living on the streets and then coming back. I didn't go to school. I didn't actually know how to read and write until I was 15. I got home. My sister was going to church, and I said, "What? You're going to what?" And I had long hair, you know, board shorts, t-shirts, the stinky kid, the kid that you don't want, the kid that if you look at, you go, "Oh, I'm glad my kid's not like that." Well, that was that. I was that kid you don't want. Anyway, my sister goes, "Why don't you go to church?" And I go, "What for?" She goes, "There's girls." And I thought, "Wow, yeah, 15 girls, Christian." I thought, that'll be easy. So there's a bus comes.
She knew what to do to get you in the door, didn't she?
I got on the bus. I got out there. It's 15. I walked into this church. I didn't know it was a Baptist church. It was right on the freeway. I walked in and I sat at the back. And there's this guy that's selling cars. Because I was, you know, all my life you go to church, they're wearing like a priest. But this guy's got a tie on. He looks like a car salesman. He gets up and he starts telling about God and about the Lord Jesus. And that just hit me between the heart. And he says, if you need Jesus Christ, you need to come and receive him. So I heard the word come. So I get out of my chair and I start walking forward. I mean, he's still preaching, but I'm walking forward because I heard you come. And I'm a street kid, you know, I'm those kids that ask you for a dollar. Hey, mate, you got a dollar? You got a dollar, mate? Come on, give me a dollar. Mm-hmm, you know, and mm-hmm. You have to give me a dollar, otherwise you don't want this stinky kid following you in town. So I'm walking towards the pulpit. The guy's still preaching, and I look at him, and he has to stop his preaching because there's this weirdo looking at him right in front of him. So he stops his preaching, leans down, and he says, "What are you here for?" And I said, "Well, you said in the message if you need Jesus, come. I'm here. I want Jesus. And the guy was like, you know, you ever had a pastor look at you and go, you? Like, you want Jesus? And I said, yes. So he took me with another guy. His name was Ed Bonnet. And he took me aside and he led me to Christ. And I tell you, my life changed from that day till this day. It's been an incredible, awesome time. I went back home. I went to school on Monday. I had to register my name. Nobody knew who I was. So I registered my name, went to school all that week confused because I didn't know how to read or write. Sunday came. I was excited. Got on my skateboard. I was excited to go to church. I've got Jesus and I have no idea about the Bible, but I go there and the preacher, guess what? He preached this message. I'll never forget it, about you need to write the name of Jesus in your heart. I remember he saying on the windows, on the doors. So I went home and I thought, man, I can do that. So I got a girl to write down, Jesus saves and you're going to hell. I thought, man, I can do that. So I broke into, you know, I didn't. I was just a scallywag. I broke in, you know, like Robin Hood. I broke in the shop and stole all these spray cans.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went to my school, broke into my school, into the bathroom, the girls' bathroom, the boys'. And, it's a public school. They write all stuff. So I wrote down, Jesus saves. You're going to hell. I broke into the staff because I remember seeing the principal. He had a bathroom there. So I went in there, a washroom, sprayed it all. And then on Monday, I was so proud of myself. I mean, I've done something for God. My pastor told me. So I go there. There's cops everywhere. The whole school's in an uproar. And I asked my friends, I said, what happened? They go, Phil, somebody vandalized our school. I go, what? Who would do that? And they go, no, they write the name of Jesus and stuff all over the bathroom, the washroom. And I said, no, that's me. I did that. So I went in the principal. Principal's there, you know, bald head, fat guy. He's got police there. He's all worried. I walk in. He looked at me and he goes, Panera, did your friends do this? And I said, no. He goes, do you know who did this? And I said, yeah, I do. He goes, tell me right now who did it. And I said, I did. And I remember it was the days you could hit people. Now you can't. But he grabbed a big telephone book, hit me on the head, sat me down. And he goes, who told you to write Jesus saves and you're going to hell all over our school? And I looked at him, big eyes, 15 years old, long hair down to my elbow. And I said, my pastor did.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm sure he got an interesting call. No.
They called him. He came in. I remember the principal saying, he was an American missionary. The principal saying to him, did you tell this young man to vandalize our school? And the pastor goes, no. He said, did you say anything about writing the name of Jesus? He goes, well, I was preaching and I was saying you need to write the name of Jesus on your heart, on your door, on your window. And he goes, and the principal, I remember looking at him saying, you were preaching, but this kid, it's reality.
Oh, my gosh. Holy cow. All right, well, we're going to get back to this. We got to head to a break. We're going to continue the conversation with Phil, Pastor Joyner, here on 1180 WFYL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The suspect in the Charleston church shooting due in court today for a hearing on whether documents will be released to the news media.
Dylan Roof, suspected of racial motivations for the attack. He's expected to be indicted on 9 counts of first-degree murder and 3 counts of attempted murder. The judge is also ordering all police reports and 911 recordings be sealed, though press organizations are planning to argue against it.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. Emmy nods are coming in a few hours.
The big send-off expected for AMC's Mad Men, which ended this year without its lead John Hamm ever receiving an award for his work as ad man Don Draper.
You know what happiness is? Happiness is the smell of a new car.
And with last year's diversity map being fully explored by television, you'll see nods for How to Get Away with Murder, Jane the Virgin, and Blackish, and Fox's newest hit, Empire.
Fox News Radio's Michelle Polino. Fox News. We report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Apollo 11 blasted off from Cape Kennedy this day, July 16, 1969, on the first mission to walk on the moon. Commenting on the Apollo program, President Richard M. Nixon stated, "Only a few short weeks ago, we shared the glory of man's first sight of the world as God sees it, as a single sphere reflecting the light in the darkness. As the Apollo astronauts flew over the moon's gray surface, they spoke to us of the beauty of the Earth. And in that voice so clear across the lunar distance, we heard them invoke God's blessing on its goodness."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
There's a large group of Christians who walk the streets every night, preaching the word of God. Thank you for your books. Your ministry is a huge blessing to ours. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
I am a youth leader at my church. I've just started to go into the kids' homes and tell them about the gospel. I feel that giving them the precious gift of the gospel in a pocket testament will get them fired up for God's word.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
I don't know what it feels like to die, but that's how I felt that one morning. I didn't know what was going on. I even cried out, "God, I've done a good thing. Why have you forsaken me?"
Sometimes, even in doing good, we can feel as if we're all alone. Sally will walk us through an act of sacrifice on behalf of someone she had never even met. Her story on the next Words to Live By.
If you haven't been listening to the conversation we've been having these past couple segments, you definitely need to stick around for the rest of this because you are not going to want to miss it. I'm here with missionary Phil, who's a missionary to New Caledonia, Fiji. I thought I saw you for a second there. Fiji, he's having fun in the South Pacific there. And also Pastor Joyner with Valley Forge Baptist Church, who is a church that basically is equivalent to a sponsor of Phil. You could call in with a question for him if you want, although if you're just fine with listening too, because there's plenty to listen to. That's a 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. And we were talking off the air, you know, I'm talking about the big issue of the day, really, is politically, is Planned Parenthood issue. We were talking about, I mean, the law is being broken, plain and simple. It's just, no matter how you want to describe it, you want to describe it as a tissue, you want to describe it as anything else that you want to. It is breaking the law that is on the books right now, no matter how you describe it. And there's evidence, it's plain, it's laid out there. Anyone defending it, quite frankly, is just defending evil. But we were talking about this off the air. We were saying that, you know, all these problems, and this is what, if anything, the program is about. All these problems are basically just sin. They're just sin. Because it doesn't matter if it's actually illegal. People still want to say, well, I want to do it, and that's that. And isn't that what sin is? And the one answer to all of this is Jesus Christ. Now, you are doing this right now, Phil. You're being a missionary to a culture that, honestly, when we get down to it, when we get down to men and women, our just who we are at our base level, we're our sinners.
Yeah, I think where I'm ministering to in the islands of Vanuatu, I'm coming to people who are out of darkness. They've never seen a TV or know even America. Even at one time, I'm trying to explain to them what the moon is, and I've got a rock, and I've got a flashlight, and I've got another little rock, and I'm explaining that the sun's here, and that, you know, the light beams off the other little rock, and they're laughing their heads off. They're rolling around the fire saying that's the stupidest thing they've ever heard in their entire life. And so that's I'm ministering to people who who are hunting with bows and arrows, who jump out of trees with a machete tied onto a piece of bamboo and lance it into a pig's back as the, you know, wild boar pigs. I'm ministering to people who still have many wives. I'm ministering to people who the witch doctor still digs out the dead body of, you know, someone who's died freshly to chop off all the fingers and boil them and eat them. This is the people that we're ministering to. And I'm sorry to say, but there's stuff in the jungle that I think it's grassroots. Human grassroots is this. If I can get away with it, I will. That's what it is. If these people can, the witch doctor, he's the one. He's in the village, and when I come in the village, he's the one that's going to be the one that's going to stop me and wants to kill me. I mean, one time I was in the village in my tent.
Spiritual battle.
I love tents. You know, it's you're by yourself. I'm an old guy. You're a young guy. You're a young
you don't look. How old are you, Phil? You don't look that old.
I'm 56, but I feel like 106.
Okay, see, I thought, well, with everything that you've been doing, you know, I can understand you've been shot at. You've been, you know.
He's lived two lifetimes, you know.
Yeah, you know, I believe it. You know, yeah, we need to talk about this, too. You did some bull riding, too.
Yeah, well, I was a street kid, and I was in New Caledonia trying to minister to cowboys. You can't go on a ranch. I mean, the ranch is like a mile away from the gate from the house. So I wanted a horse, and some through incredible circumstances, knowing nothing about horses, God helped me to break in horses. That's another story. We ain't got time this morning for that one. But anyway, I got involved in horse breaking, and then the Lord Mayor of our town, while I was staying, he said, can you get a rodeo team? We have a national rodeo where 20,000 people. So I got the team together. We went to the rodeo. One of our guys got injured. And so I thought the team was disqualified. The Lord Mayor comes up and he goes, look, you talk to the judges. You can ride on his behalf. And I said, are you kidding? You told me to put the team together. He didn't say ride. I said, men don't ride bulls. I have a cow, you know, my bull next to my potato and veggies. But I don't get on one. And the Lord Mayor looked at me and he says, but I thought you believed in God. I don't know why unsaved people always say that, but that's the thing that they use.
They always point that out.
So the next day, here was I coming in, and I'm hopping on a huge white Brahman bull. And I'm sitting on it, and I'm sweating. I remember the night before, I couldn't sleep. My wife says, just, honey, just sleep. And I go, sleep? You'll be a widow tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'm going to die. And so I've seen those bulls. They're just ranked bulls. I'm sitting on the back of the bull. I know what to do. They're strapping me in. I'm tightened down. I remember the guy looks at me, and he goes, they know I'm a preacher. They go, preacher, you might go to heaven and see your God tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
They open the gate. I'm hanging on to this bull, and this bull leaps out. I know what to do. I've seen it, and I'm training, but I haven't done it myself. This one bull leaps out, and for I don't know why, it just hopped across. It just, like, skipped. You know, like those big Brahman bulls. They're huge animals. They weigh a ton. And he skips across the field. I'm hanging on. I hear the buzzer. And I'm still hanging on, and I hear the loudspeakers, 20,000 French people watching this, and the speaker goes, get off the bull, preacher.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was still on. I didn't know. I didn't know if it was bucking or not bucking. I was just hanging on for my life. Unstrapped, hopped off. The clown came up and clowned the bull, so I got safe. And that day, of course, I rode the steer and I rode a horse for this guy, and I did what I needed to do, 8 seconds. So nobody, through those 3 days events, no one had ridden 8 seconds bull ride. Only one guy, me.
And it's
you know, this is not the grand national championship. You'd be disqualified because the bull didn't buck. But no one had ridden, and the guys got together, and they knew how it was. And the judge says, look, it's not the preacher's fault the bull didn't buck. So that year, with the points that we had and the points I rode for steer and bareback riding, the points I had, in 91, I won the overall cowboy, bareback, bull riding, and steer riding. It was awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so the newspaper and you guys came up to me, newspaper and reported, and they go, how did you do this? And I said, well, I cheated. And they go, what? How did you cheat? I prayed all night. So the newspaper article that in New Caledonia that day was rodeo champion cheats.
Oh,
quote,
my gosh.
I prayed all night about this.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's how I got involved in rodeo. It wasn't something. I think being a street kid, I think my life was, you know, I've been preached and talked and I was saved by Americans. So all you guys who give to missions, I am a product of what you give. I am a product of missions, so thank you so much for giving to your church, giving to missions, because that's what it does. But all my life I was told that God can, that God is true, that God is alive. So I don't know if I'm deluded or perhaps I'm just retarded or something wrong with me, but I believe God can do anything.
No, yeah. No, not at all. That's absolutely true. And he, you know, through little things like that, you know, I thought you prayed to God. I thought you were a Christian or this
that's
or that
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, just for something simple like that. And you don't know it, but that's God opening the door to,
like,
hey.
For instance, we had a cyclone in Vanuatu, the hurricane category 5. I was there just at the right time helping another missionary with his visa. Boom, the cyclone hits, the hurricane hits, and all of a sudden the vice principal rings me and he goes, Philip, we've got a problem with the French army and the French navy, because I'm French, I speak French. He goes, would you come and be a mediator between us and the French and the French army and the French navy, so we could talk about the cyclone relief, so we're not having all these people running around doing whatever they want, so we got a coordinated effect to help those in stress. So here was I, a street kid, bull riding, ministering to the jungle. I had my tie on, I had my badge, I'm sitting around the table with the French consulate, Monsieur le Model, and I'm with the French Navy, and you know, I'm not going to talk about French. I'm French. I'm not going to say anything. But whatever you think French are, yes, you're right.
Oh my gosh!
So I'm sitting around the table. So here am I,
enough said,
street
enough
kid said around there. The table, and we're talking, and no one knows that I'm just a preacher. No one knows I'm just a missionary. I really believe with all my heart that if you trust God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you really believe God that can do anything, he can. And for me personally, God brought me to Valley Forge Baptist Temple when I came to America. Actually saved me and helped me, because there you'll find real people that love God, love families, love children. I mean, this week we've got this crazy.
Yeah, I was going to tell. If you like the story you're hearing now, your kids, if you have children ages 4 to 12 or 4 years old through the 8th grade, if you will bring them out to Valley Forge Baptist tonight and tomorrow night, they will hear Missionary Phil tell some of his stories. He's captivating for us. Kids are mesmerized at his stories. They love it. They'll be blessed by it tonight from 6:30 to 8:30, thecaringchurch.com. Check it out and be there tonight.
There we go. 6:30 to 8:30, thecaringchurch.com. Phil,
did you notice how we put right that now. Commercial in for? Did you
no.
notice?
Oh, yeah. No.
Did you notice?
We
that's
call
pretty
that,
cool.
We call
we
that.
We snuck that in without.
We call that a shameless plug.
We landed
plug.
That baby without you knowing.
That's a shameless plug. That's what we call
that
right there.
That was shameless. I was proud of it.
Well, right. Yeah, shameless plug. Yeah.
No, so, but seriously, I really mean it. And for me, it's sad. I come here to America, and you guys are sleeping on an incredible historical, godly background. And I mean, everywhere. It's in your car, in God We Trust. It's in the shopping center. You're sleeping on it, but you don't realize that it's been taken away from you. And by the time you wake up, you're just right. By the time the average American Christian godly man wakes up from that bed, from that foundation, it's gone.
You know, and you're absolutely right. And that's a foreign perspective on us as Americans, folks, that we need to take to heart.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. At last year's December meeting, the Pennsylvania Family Institute Board of Directors decided to hire an additional constitutional attorney for our Independence Law Center to join in the fight for religious liberty and the sanctity of life. It was a step of faith because it means we need to bring in additional financial support to accommodate the growth.
but it was also a very timely decision because the attacks on religious liberty for individuals, churches, and ministries are growing by the day. And that's why I'm so glad that attorney Jeremy Samick has joined our chief counsel, Randy Wenger, on the Independence Law Center team. They're here to help you and all Pennsylvanians fight for religious liberty. Please consider helping us financially with a generous, tax-deductible contribution.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Coming up on the next Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
So do this, Mom and Dad. Focus on the relationship with your teen. Ask good questions and listen. Listen to their heart, and you'll begin a road to a relationship that will last a lifetime.
Just a sample of what you'll hear when you join us for Parenting Today's Teens with Mark Gregston.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
This has been quite a conversation. We've got Phil and Pastor Joyner. Phil is a missionary to Vanuatu, New Caledonia, Fiji. And he is with us this morning, and it has been a wild ride. Kind of like that, well, that bull ride you had was not right, that wild, actually. But you got that was quite an experience, though, because... That's right. You said to your wife, it's like, you're going to be a widow.
Yeah, that's right.
and she was like, oh, just pray about it. But we're talking to them today, and he is a missionary and has to speak to people who have never heard of the gospel before and is led by God in extraordinary events in his life. And we're going to talk about what he's doing right now, how you could get involved or support him if you'd like to. And we'll go ahead and give you all that information on It's a New Day. And this is a good bit of encouragement for us, because as Americans, we are in a nation that is changing. Now, it's changing because of one reason, that is sin. And it's changing because we are rejecting the gospel. Now, to make a comparison, Phil, you are ministering to a people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before, who literally you were trying to describe to them the moon and how it works.
That's right. Yeah.
They hunt with bows and arrows, and they were laughing at the idea of the moon and how it works and orbits.
That's right.
And the sun and how we understand astronomy today. And to give you an idea, they've never heard of the gospel before, and they are accepting it. And while there's ongoing work, but there you are seeing, I'm sure, that community begin to grow. You've been there for how long now?
30 years now I've been over there. And I think it starts with you. We always think that the gospel has to be, you know, it's they've got to accept that. I think what God needs to do is a work in my life before he can do a work in their life. So when God takes me there into the jungle, whether I'm going to get sick, I've had malaria over 50 times, all those things in your life, you've got to accept them as if God is actually working in my life. More God works in my life, more I can be a light. But the problem is a light just shows the way, but it cannot make people walk that way. And I think that I've realized that in the jungle, that I can be a light and I can be there and I can love them and I can suffer with them. I sleep in the hut. I eat their food. I have a saying, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. I mean, I've eaten worms that's, you know, you're trying to eat these live worms and they're trying to come out of your throat.
Oh, boy.
Something you feel like you're going to puke, but this is a live puke. I mean, I'm sorry if you're having your breakfast right now. I'm really sorry about it. And we have, like, we eat cats and we eat dogs and... It's not actually a boiled dog's not too bad with sweet potato. Yeah. Well, hey, you
oh, some people don't some
look
people
at me like that.
That.
You eat hot dogs.
Some people
and
think,
hush puppies. Now, I mean, what?
This is sometimes all that they have to eat. By the
way,
that's
right.
But some people, how ludicrous this is though. For
but
survival, then, they eat over there. Some people in America,
but they're
would think
not
that's
happy.
Heinous.
See, people think then they're not happy. They actually, you know, you come into a village. It's dark. They're caught into witchcraft. When the night comes down, you can sense, and the witch doctor has caught them all into this lie. The witch doctor has no real power. All the stuff that you see on TV, I've never seen it all my life, and I'm dealing with people who have pure witchcraft. I think the power of God is understated here. We've got too much falseness in what we have today. The realism is that you're arriving in the jungle, the witch doctor hates you, you're going to take his job away because he's getting paid chickens and pigs by doing witchcraft, and you know that. You know he's going to be enemy. You got to hit it face on. And I remember I hit one of them face on. Remember one of them was doing his hocus pocus. I grabbed him, and I told the people, I said, you don't trust this man anymore. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's of the devil. And I looked at him, and all the crowd was getting bigger. And I looked at him, his short little witch doctor, no clothes. And I said, if you have any power, I'll give you 1 month to make me sick. I'll give you a whole month to do your stuff on me, and we'll know that you're a liar. And I walked away, and the witch doctor pulled his arm away, looked at me in the language, and said, this guy is going to die. And everybody was like, no way. The missionary is dead. And I went back to my town. I remember I had all these bush people following me in town. I walked up to them. I said, what are you guys here for? You know, and they said, no, we want to know, missionary. Are you sick? Are you like stomach ache? And I said, you go back and you tell that witch dog, I feel 100% good. So he went back, and here am I reading my Bible, and God just stroked me about Zacchaeus. He just stroked me in my heart and says, Phil, I didn't lead you to have a boxing match with a witch doctor. You go back there. And you tell him, I love him. And you tell him, not sorry for what you said, but sorry for your attitude. Because I want to change him. So I got in my car, my four-wheel drive. We did the hours driving over the hill, rivers, got to the village. I came out of my four-wheel drive truck. Here's the witch doctor. He can see me. He's running for his life. He's thinking, man, I'm coming to lynch him. So I get out. I'm running after him. The whole village is going wild. All the kids are pointing. He's over here. He's over here. I finally grab him. He's panting, and I said, I've come to apologize. He can't believe it. The village thinking that's it. The witch doctor's going to get converted to witchcraft. I go in his hut, and I explain to him. I'm sorry. I didn't come here. You're not my enemy. He says, what you're doing is wrong, but I got to tell you, God wants me to tell you that he loves you, and he died for you. And I explained the gospel story. I know the language, but I had another young man with me who knew his local language. He gets out of his hut, goes to his special hut, brings out a pig's tux that goes right around. The only chiefs wear it on their arm. He gives me that pig tusk, and he says, I want you to know, I've seen you, missionary. I've seen you're stubborn, and you go. When people says don't go, you go and run in. He goes, I am going to accept your God. Because it must be real for you to come here and say sorry to me. Your God must be real.
Wow.
And he accepted God in his life. He got out of his hut. There's all the whole village is there. They're thinking, that's it. The missionary's converted To the witch doctor, he's scared. He opens the door and he yells out to the people, I have invited the missionaries God into my life. Don't come back here for healing. Don't come back and see me. I am a changed man.
Wow.
And it was then that we had an incredible revival in that village. Young people, even kids, little kids are getting saved because, you know, even little kids have to work for the tucker. You don't work over there, you die. So they're up in the hills getting their crops. People are getting saved. We had people getting baptized. That's where we started our Bible school. But you know how it had started? It didn't start by me proving that I was better than a witch doctor. It started with me going back and apologizing and saying, you know what? I probably did that in the wrong spirit. I'm really here to tell you about my God. It's not about me loving you. It's my God loves you. And he sent me here to tell you that he loves you enough to give his son for you. I think that's what we need. We just need to change from within. So I don't want you to think I'm out there and these people are getting... I know God has to do work in Philip Pinero's life. Even through this cyclone, just before I came here, we had a landslide and all these kids were buried alive. And here we are digging kids out. I mean, God has to do something in your life before he can do it
well,
life in others.
We've only got about a minute or so left. And what a great way to end the program, by the way, with that wonderful, encouraging story. The same thing we may see happen here, depending on how bad things may get in America, to be quite frank with people who are listening. What's a good way if people would like to... If people would like to learn more about you as a missionary, Phil, or even support you, how was a website maybe they could go to?
Well, Valley Forge Baptist Temple, that's my home church here in America. That's where my flag is. So if you want to help missions, they have a great missions program. If you want to help missions, you go down there, talk to Pastor Joyner, Pastor Scott Wendell, godly man with incredible family. I mean, seriously, I've seen a lot of junk. This is the real deal.
And Valley Forge Baptist Temple, you could go ahead and find them at thecaringchurch.com. You're going to be speaking tonight.
Tonight, tomorrow night.
To 7?
6:30 to 8:30. Children 4 years old to 8th grade.
All right, and that's going to be at Valley Forge Baptist Temple. Yeah. You could go to thecaringchurch.com for more information. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey,
remember
so much,
that no matter what happens, no matter what headline comes tomorrow, that Jesus Christ is Lord over everything in our nation. Laura Ingram next. See you next week.
This is Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I want to invite you to listen to our new daily live call-in program, Stand in the Gap Today, each Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL. There's never a shortage of topics surrounding how our faith and freedom are being attacked on every front. This program will equip Christians to stand up for truth and to impact our culture for Christ rather than just being an idle bystander. Join this battle for truth and listen to Stand in the Gap Today every Monday through Friday at noon, right here on WFYL.